Hi everyone, and welcome back to episode 4 of the Save to Serve podcast. Can't believe we have done a month's worth of episodes already. However, today I thought I would do a bit of a personal video, my personal testimony, and I guess my walk, my experience, what it's been like for me, the things that have helped me, what God brought me from, and who God has transitioned me into. So bear with me because I haven't wrote anything down. I don't have no notes. I'm just going from my head. I'm going from my spirit, and yeah, it might be a bit gappy. It might be a bit, if when I'm trying to go through the timeline of things, I might miss things out. But I'm sharing this in hopes that people will be encouraged by it, that they will be set free, maybe from things that they may be dealing with. And ultimately, I'm sharing this because there's just no shame when God brings you through. There's no shame, there's no shame, and there's no pain. And when there's no shame and there's no pain, you can talk about your past, you can talk about what God brought you through easily, and that is where I'm at. So yeah, I hope and pray that this blesses you guys. Okay, so before I get into it, I used to have a YouTube channel, right? And on my personal YouTube channel, I made a video which is no longer there. I did delete it. However, I watched it again recently. It's in my archives, and I made a video, and it was titled "My Testimony with God So Far." And I watched it back, and I cringed so much because I knew absolutely nothing about God, right? And I thought I had this relationship with him, but I knew nothing. And I think it would be interesting to actually do, one of them stitch videos where you kind of talk through what's going on. It would be interesting to do that with me 5 years, 6 years ago. May even be 7 years, no, 6 years ago. And just see the comparison, and the way that I think, and the revelation that God has, given me now. It would be interesting to do that. But I'm bringing that up because in that video, I spoke about my background, I spoke about a little bit of my childhood, and I spoke about what I believe God had done with my life so far. But the reality is, I wasn't living for God. I didn't know God. I did not have a relationship with God. So what I believe to be a testimony was not actually a testimony yet. A testimony is only a testimony when God has brought you out of something into himself. And so watching that was really an eye-opener because, so many of us believe that, and I think I touched on this on the last episode, that so many of us believe that we have this relationship with God, this personal relationship, and we are deceiving ourselves, we are lying to ourselves, and we can think that because good things are coming into our lives and because good things are happening in our lives, we just automatically think, yep, that's because I'm on God's good side and I'm doing all the things right, and this is what it looks like to have a relationship with God. And it's just the furthest thing from the truth. But anyway, in that podcast, I kind of touched on where my relationship with Jesus began, and so I'm just gonna go back there. I'm gonna revisit just that period of life. And so at the time of me first getting to know God, in fact, I'm gonna go a little bit further back. So I knew about God because I went to a Church of England primary school. We would go to church, we would do mass, we would sing Christmas carols, we'd do all that stuff. And I would also go to Sunday school every now and then because we had a church at the bottom of our flat, our apartments that we used to live when I was a child. I used to take myself with my friends when I was like four, five, six, very young, and go to Sunday school sometimes. And then on a Friday, there was a husband and wife who would run a club for kids in the local community, and they would just teach us about Jesus. We'd do, games, arts and crafts. They'd pray. And I'd say that was my introduction to God. Other than that, there really wasn't anything else. There was nothing in my childhood that sticks out where I learned about God and who he was. And, I just knew of the concept of God through those things. Anyway, as I got older, I no longer went to a Church of England school, Catholic school, none of that. It was just a normal state school. There was no Sunday school, there was no church, there was none of that. And as a teenager, I had made up in my mind that I was now an atheist because just of the life, I guess, that I was living, the life that I had been handed. I was quite an angry teenager. I was angry, I guess, with the cards that I'd been dealt, and I just felt sorry for myself. And I just believed that there's no way that there could be a God because life is hell. And so I had that mindset for a while. And then what changed is when I turned 16. Yes, when I turned 16 and I went to college, I believe, I met a friend called Jodie. And Jodie, if you're listening to this or watching this, please message me because I haven't spoken to you in years. Anyway, I met a friend called Jodie and she was a Christian. And I can't remember if we met at college or we met at work. But anyway, she was a Christian. She would tell me a few things about God. And I just remember she just looked like an angel. Like she had a dimple in her cheek. She was super polite, super friendly, super nice. She just had such a light spirit about her. And anyway, she invited me to church. And I think at that time when she invited me to church, I probably would have been about 18. And I went to church. I don't remember any of the messages that I heard. But I enjoyed going. The things that she would tell me, she was waiting until marriage to lose her virginity. And just seeing the way that she was, I think without realizing, it began to shift some of the ideologies, some of the things that I used to think about the way that we should live. Her life alone, her example began to shift some of the things within me. And I think one of the main things being her being a virgin at 18 and me losing my virginity at 14, which is no age at all to be losing your virginity, and the things that I had gone through with that, it was traumatic. Losing my virginity was a traumatic experience. It wasn't because I necessarily wanted to. It was literally just because my boyfriend at the time, he wasn't a virgin. His friends were pressuring me. And, everything that was going on in that environment, in that circle of people that I was around, it was just promiscuous. It was just sexual. And, I didn't have any adults to turn to. And so ended up losing my virginity, ended up being in a relationship with this boy, because that's what he was, boy. We were in a underage relationship, him also being underage. But yeah, from there it was just like relationship that ended into another relationship, into another. And so the cycle kind of went on. And I think hearing someone say that they are waiting, like that this is their beliefs, it just resonated with me in a way that I thought, you know what, maybe this is the way that you are supposed to do things. And so I kind of adapted those beliefs, and I would say things to my nieces and nephews like, you have to wait until marriage, it's the right way to do it. And I wholeheartedly believed that, but I guess for myself, I believed because I'd already done it, that that doesn't apply to me. That applies to people that are pure, that are whole, that haven't gone and done that deed. That was the way that I saw that. Anyway, fast forward. My friend, she got saved, and I can't remember what age she got saved at, but she got saved and she ended up going to church. And she invited me to church. This is probably a year or two later. I think I'm about 20 at this time. And again, I'd just come out of a toxic whirlwind relationship, had gone through just the same things, the same, cycle of things that I'd been exposed to in the past, just wanting to fill a void, wanting that hurt to go. And so she invited me to church and I went to church, and I've told this story a few times, but my experience with going to her church was my mom had not long passed away. The relationship that I was in had just left me completely broken. And I guess from this point, this is when the searching really began. I really wanted to search out God for myself. But I didn't know much. So I've gone to her church, and I don't remember the sermon. I don't remember what it was about, but I remember the pastor coming up to me at the end and him saying, if you want prayer for anything, come up and ask. And so I did. I told him that I was having nightmares about my mom. And these dreams were just like, they were just very vivid. Like, it would be dreams of like her body melting through the coffin, and just really like horrific dreams in regard to her death, almost symbolizing that she did not have a peaceful entrance into eternity. Now that I'm looking back, I could be completely wrong what those dreams may have meant, but they were really, hard dreams. And she would come and visit me in, my dreams, and the dreams would just never be nice. They would never end nice. It would always leave me feeling just confused and a little bit scared and like frightened. Anyway, I told him about these dreams. He prayed for those dreams. And then I used to suffer with migraines from the age of like 13 to 20, and quite bad ones, to the point where my migraine wouldn't go unless I went home and slept. I had to sleep for it to go. And so this carried on into me getting a job. And obviously, when you have a job, it's not the most ideal thing that you need to go to sleep for the migraine to go, otherwise you cannot function. And so that was the situation. Anyway, he said, the next time you get a migraine, place your hand on your temple and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. He said, you're never going to get a migraine again. I said, okay. Okay. At that point, did I believe? I couldn't tell you if I did or I didn't. Probably, I think I was open. It's not a case of me fully believing or not believing. I was just open because I wanted something. And so the next day, I was in the shower and I got a migraine, and I remember what he said. And I place my hand on my temple, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And to this day, it has now been 9 years going on 10, that I've never had a headache again. I've never had a migraine again. I've never suffered with any kind of pain in my head again. Now, the thing is, that happened and the headache went instantly. Yet, I still didn't give my life to God. That was like an introduction to God confirming to me that He is real. Yes, I am real. You're going to learn about me. You're going to learn that I heal people. You're going to learn that I will make myself known to people. And that was kind of like my introduction to God myself. And then after that, I went on to be in yet another relationship, and I was convinced that this relationship was from God because, I'd prayed about it, and, this person wasn't like any other person that I'd met. And I was convinced that this relationship was, it was from God. again, obviously wasn't. I was not honoring God in that relationship. I was not married in that relationship. I was still living in sin in that relationship. I was still drinking alcohol. I was still doing all the things. I still didn't fully, you know myself. There was no signs of God in that relationship. But this is what can happen when you don't know the word of God, when you are not in a church, when you don't have people around you speaking into your life, speaking into your situation. You'll just kind of, you will end up deceived. You will deceive yourself because you want what you want. And if there's no other alternative offered in terms of correction, in terms of this is what you should be doing, this is how it should go, you do end up convincing yourself that, you know, God is doing certain things in your life when he isn't. It's actually just a result of you making decisions. Fast forward. So I am pregnant with my first child. And during this time, I'm reading my Bible and I'm watching sermons online. And I'm getting to know who God is, but I still don't know God in any depth, in any degree. And I'm pregnant and I begin to get convicted about having premarital sex. But I didn't realize at the time that this was conviction. I just knew that I shouldn't probably be doing this. However, very confused because I'm pregnant with my child. And so I sit down and I speak to my then boyfriend and I tell him how I'm feeling and we have a conversation. What is said was said, and you know, we just go and continue to just do what we was doing and living in sin. And lo and behold, that relationship draws to an end. And when that relationship draws to an end, I'm very confused, probably the most confused that I had ever been in life, ever, ever, ever been in life, very lost. And that started a spiral of me just getting even more lost and even more confused. But now I have a child. So life is growing more and more and more intense, right? And then during this period, I'm continuing to have premarital sex. I am drinking alcohol. I am smoking weed. I am, just doing everything that I shouldn't be doing. I'm going partying. The way that I dress, the things that I'm wearing are getting more and more provocative. I'm showing off more skin. I'm getting more attention. And it was like this journey of just losing myself, but from the outside looking in, you would never have known that that's what was going on. It was a really, like, in hindsight looking back, it was the most difficult period of life that I've gone through, over losing my parents, over, you know, death and those things. Like, it was a very, very difficult period in time, because losing yourself is, anyone that has gone through that is, it's a scary place. It's a scary process when you don't understand certain thoughts, when you don't understand certain decisions, when you don't understand why things are the way, and you begin to question them. Because as much as I was losing myself, my spirit was clearly crying out for more. My spirit was crying out because my spirit wanted to know God, and I'm compressing how I'm feeling. I'm compressing with alcohol. I'm self-harming literally with alcohol, with drugs, and with sex. And that is, you know, it's not the conventional type of self-harming, but it is a form of self-harm. And so it got to a stage where, you know, if I was being intimate, like, I had to be drunk or I had to be high. Without that, I couldn't enjoy it. I couldn't, it almost felt as though I was having an out-of-body experience. That was my relationship with, you know, intimacy, with sex at the time. Anyway, I get into another relationship I get into another relationship, and you know, it's complicated because I don't know myself. I don't know what's going on. And the best way to put it is good fruits just were not bearing in that relationship, because of the place that I was in, because of the place that he was in, because of what was happening. You know, just a lot of hurt, a lot of damage was taking place, not only to the other person but to myself. And then most people know this story, but if you're new here, few events that kind of led to this was I was getting my hair braided, and I remember having a conversation with this lady, and she asked me a question, which is the question that I like to ask all people now, is if you was to die tomorrow, where do you think you're going? And you know, I said, you know, I think I'll be going to heaven. You know, I'm not really like a bad person like that. You know, I haven't killed anyone. I haven't, you know, I haven't done anything that's too bad. And she was a born again Christian, and she said it's not about being a good person. It's about accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and living your life for Him. And you know, again, I was open. I wasn't, you know, I listened to what she had to say. I don't think I completely shut it down. I just listened, and I think I kind of give it a you know. And I'm continuing to just live my life. I'm continuing to just, you know, I'm still going out, I'm drinking, I'm partying, I'm booking holidays to Miami, I'm buying new cars, I'm doing all the things that my flesh wants to do. And we go to Miami on a girls' trip. And when we're in Miami, we are in strip clubs and we're just doing all the worldly things. We're drinking alcohol, we're in strip clubs, we are smoking weed by the pool, we're doing all the things that people do in the world. And one night we are all in the hotel room and we are speaking about, we're speaking about God. We're trying to have a conversation about what we believe in, probably is a better way to put it, rather than saying we were speaking about God, right? And you know, we are all giving our version. You know, one of the girls believed in horoscopes, one of the girls believed in crystals, another girl believed in something else, and we were all speaking. And by that point, I had made up in my mind that all those things were demonic. All of those things were demonic, and you know, they're false, and we shouldn't be believing in these things, we shouldn't be following those things. And I had made up in my mind that if I was to die in that moment, that you know, I'd be going to hell. And I explained this in my first podcast. And so what had happened is God had been placing people in my life and giving me enough information, enough knowledge to understand and to believe in Him. And so I got to a point of believing and knowing that I'm not living the life that I'm supposed to be living. And so I was kind of met with I don't even know what you call it, like, you know, you're at a T junction, you're at a junction, and you have to choose. And that's what you have to do. When you have that knowledge and you believe in that knowledge, you have to make a decision. Am I going to go left or am I going to go right? Am I going to live for Jesus the way that I know I'm supposed to? Am I going to do what I'm supposed to do, or am I going to live life the way that I want to live life? And, you know, in that moment, although, you know, upset, although broken, although damaged, I still didn't realize the gravity of how broken and how damaged and, you know, just how much I was suffering. And so in that decision, in that moment, I said, I'm not ready to live for Jesus. And I know I'm going to go to hell if I was to die. A very brazen thing to say, a very scary place to be in as well, mind you. You know, considering some of the things that had happened, some of the experiences that I'd had with God already. And a week later, I'm back from Miami. I am having an argument. I get into an argument and it was like I'd just had enough. I just had enough. And I was just like, God, I surrender it all to you. I can't do this no more. I can't carry on making these decisions. I can't lead my life anymore. I don't want to. And I let God know in that moment that this life that I am trying to put together, I'm done with doing that. I'm done with being the God of my own life. And I was weeping and I encountered God there on my living room floor. And I remember praying. I'd never prayed like that before. It was, you know, it was from the heart. It was my spirit in that moment connecting with God. And I know God heard me in that moment because the peace that he gave me, the revelation that he gave me in that moment, it was like everything that I'd been reading over the years, everything that I'd been listening to over the years became real. And in that moment, it was like my life, God had given me to look at like it was a book, and I was able to see why I was making certain decisions, why certain things had happened, why certain relationships ended, why I was looking for love here. And I didn't know the answer to these questions before. You know, you can kind of have a conversation about it and there's generic things floating around in, you know, psychology and all those kind of things, why we do certain things and our trauma and our childhood and this, that, and the third. But you know, God was able to literally show me the puzzle, the missing puzzle to my life was that I'm disconnected from him and I'm trying to be the God of my own life. And God has been trying to get my attention and he wants me to live righteously. And it was like in that moment, I knew, wow, I've got to get right with God. And so I had a friend who, at this time, actually, she wasn't a friend, an acquaintance. She'd came to a photo shoot to my previous business. We had a photo shoot for the kids, and she brought her kids. And so we kind of stayed in contact on social media. She was the only Christian that I knew. And I basically asked her if she recommended any churches. She recommended her church. She saved me a seat. I went there the following week. That would have been, I think it was a weekday on a Wednesday, and that was how I made the decision to follow Christ. And I want to even reword that, because did I make the decision? I think God really was coming after me. God was really chasing me down. However, I hadn't came to the end of myself. And I think I needed to come to the end of myself for me to, you know, say yes to God fully. I am someone by very nature in the past, you know, that I didn't learn from my mistakes first time around. I had to go through it 2, 3, 4 times to learn from my mistake. And so, you know, God was patient and He let me go through what I went through. He let me made the decisions for my own life. He let me do whatever it is that I wanted to do. And, you know, he knew that it would take certain things for me to come to him. And that was how that decision was made. And when, you know, from that point, I was able to identify that even though I had all these things and all these things were going for me and life from the outside looking in looked like it was great. And, you know, I was going on certain holidays and I had money in my bank account and I was getting attention from people, you know, that the world, these are things that the world, they glamorize and they chase, and things were just falling onto my lap, you know. And so I know how hard it is for females to come out of that situation and to just give it then to God, because what you have to let go is everything that you had ever known. And for me, what I had to let go was this vision of the life that I was going to create for myself that I had made that decision in childhood, like, I am going to live this life. I am going to do better than my parents. I am going to, you know, have a family. I am going to be successful in life. I am going to be rich. I am going to do all these things that are so far away from the life that I had been born into. But what you don't realize is, as you are trying to create that life without God, you just become who your parents are. And it may not be to the same degree, but there are scars and there are generational things that you carry, and that they come into your relationships, they come into your friendships, they come into your future. And if you do not let God deal with them, you're just bringing the same things. It's just wrapped up in expensive wrapping paper. That's the only difference. It's wrapped up and packaged differently. But it's the same thing. It's still a life that is going to end in death. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter if you get married and you have kids and you do things the right way. It doesn't matter. It all ends in death ultimately when we do things without Jesus. And it was like, I just knew all of these things. And anyway, from that point on, so at this point, I want to say saved, but I always struggle because are you saved at the beginning encounter with Jesus when everything is revealed and opened, you know, your eyes are opened, or are you saved when you fully surrender? I'm still in a relationship. The next time that I am intimate, the same thoughts, the same feelings, the same way that I felt in my first relationship when I was pregnant with my first daughter was exactly how I felt. And I said, oh my goodness, God is gonna, he's gonna make me go through this again. However, the difference was this time, I fully understood it for what it was. I knew it was conviction. I knew it was because God wanted me to pursue righteousness. He wanted me to pursue purity. He wanted me to pursue holiness. He wanted me to let go of sexual sin because he knew what it was doing to me. He knew what it had done to, you know, my parents. He knew how up until this point it had damaged me. So, and that's not the only thing, but to me that was one of the biggest things. It was one of the biggest eye-openers for me because it began to unpackage a lot of trauma that I'd gone through. It began to unpackage, you know, my childhood, the things that I was exposed to began to make sense. Everything began to just, like, the dots began to connect. And, you know, that first year of salvation, it was not easy. It was a year of me trying to do the right thing and falling and trying to have boundaries and falling. And then being dragged away because I hadn't let go of certain friendships and backsliding for a period and then coming back and then wanting, and then I'm learning because at this point I'm still reading my Bible and I'm getting, you know, filled with the knowledge of God. I'm going to church that I'm not attending, and it was just a year of just, it was just a year of this, you know. But I was taking in the word at the same time. I was reading my Bible. I was doing these things, and I genuinely wanted, I had a hunger for Jesus. Genuinely, certain things stopped. I was addicted to smoking weed, I would say. That completely went. When I gave my life to Jesus on my living room floor, that desire completely went. The desire to want to keep drinking alcohol, that went. The desire for a lot of things went, even to be sexually intimate, that actually went. But the thing is, when you are in a relationship and you don't have boundaries and you are still, it's very hard, even though the desire for it has gone, it's very hard because, you know, temptation's very real. You can be tempted. You cannot have the desire to do something, but you be tempted and you're staring temptation in its face. You're flirting with it. You know, things are bound to happen. And so God took so many desires from me. But that first year, it was just a rocky year. And, you know, one of the things that I found really difficult going to church was I was looking at these people as model Christians. Like, There's no way I can tell these people what I've been through. There's no way I can tell them that I'm still struggling with this and I'm still struggling with that, because these lot are like saints. These lot, there's no sin in their life. That was the view that I had going in. Like, wow, I'm so different from these guys. Look how they just dress so beautifully and elegantly. And, you know, that was, I was comparing myself to them, and I didn't meet the criteria. Because that was my viewpoint, I didn't share with them that I was struggling, and so I was struggling by myself. And you know, I believe struggled for longer than I needed to, because I wasn't being completely open with where I was at. Fast forward, I get pregnant with my second child. Pregnant with my second child, and the enemy comes for me. So in the past, I had had abortions, and the enemy came to tell me to have another abortion, and it came through my own thoughts. It came through the voices of other people, and I had a decision to make. Am I going to murder my child? Because that's another thing that God did. Me sitting and calling myself a good person, telling myself that I'm not a murderer, but I had had an abortion in the past, made me a murderer. Okay, and one thing the world likes to do is abortion's not murder. You know, it's your body, it's your choice. You have to do what's best for you. It's murder. And a lot of women are guilty of murder. And so when we try and tell ourselves, you know, we're good people, by whose standard? And so at that point, I had realized abortion was murder. But these thoughts were very real and they were very loud. And, you know, I made the choice to keep my child because God had showed me that her life was valuable. It's not something that, just because I was in sexual sin, that I get to just, you know, act like it didn't happen. Because the easier thing to do is to terminate your child. Nobody has to know that you were struggling with sexual sin. You can hide it from the world, you can hide it from your church. You can't hide it from God, and you can't hide it from yourself, and you can't hide the consequences that come from that. I don't know where I would be today. I don't know who I would be today. I don't know some of the decisions that I made that may have followed if that would have happened. But, you know, I just thank God for conviction, the power of conviction. And I always say that my second child, that she saved my life, because from her life, the fire that I had inside of me to want to get to know God even more, you know, the feeling I had inside with me to want to get it right, it was so real. It was even louder than before. And I think, you know, being pregnant, naturally you can't do certain things. There's no more drinking, there's no more going out, there's none of that. You can't do any of those things. You know, you just have to focus on her life, focus on, you know, what kind of mother do I want to be? Do I want to be a mother that's still struggling with all these things when you have children to raise? Or do I want to be a mother that is walking with Jesus? And her life, just that, the next year, that next year, so that second year of being saved, was completely different. It was a year of, you know, being intentional, getting closer with God, not missing a church service. So that first year, I would miss church service for work. I would miss it for, you know, if I was too tired, just so many different things. That second year, I'd made that promise to myself, like, you're not going to miss church no more. You are going to attend these services. You are going to dedicate yourself to the work of God. You are going to get to know Him properly. And again, it was bumpy. It was, you know, it looked like me and my partner living with each other, and then we couldn't no more, because I couldn't handle that. And it looked like so many other things just happening. But through that, through all of that happening, what came out of that was living in righteousness and living in holiness. It was a journey that was hard. It was a journey that it took a lot. And I believe, you know, God was my strength in that situation, because logic would say there's a good man here that just wants to provide for the family and that just wants to be present. But God says, I don't care about your circumstances. And not because he doesn't care, but God has a standard and we should live by it. Making excuses for our circumstances to live in sin, we are never going to get closer to God if we do that. And so it's about stepping out in faith and trusting him anyway. And when you do that, God will show himself to you because he does care. He cares about our circumstances. He cares that we have children out of wedlock and we don't get to have that experience that those who waited and that those got married before and done things the right way and have him at the same. He cares that we don't get to have that experience. You know, he cares that you are struggling. He cares that you're heartbroken. He really does care. And when you step out in faith and allow God to move in and allow God to fill your heart and allow God to fill you with peace, you will feel his presence. He will move in your life. And what I've seen as a result of obedience is him just moving in the lives of those around me, him just moving in my family's lives, in my friends' lives, in everyone's life. God has moved. And that came through sacrifice. And, you know, the word says obedience is better than sacrifice. And let me tell you, yes, it is. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Having to sacrifice things that you love, having to sacrifice things that you want is so much more painful than just being obedient to what God is telling you to do. And one of the dangerous things that you can do as a believer is get involved in sin heavily or backslide. Because if you know anything about God, he is going to chase you down. And then you are going to more than likely have to sacrifice something. And you're going to have to give up something. And so it's just always better to be obedient. Because, you know, God's plan for our lives is so much better than what we could create for ourselves. We are full of so much sin. And we're just full of, you know, we're full of good ideas and bright ideas, but God knows best. He really does know best. And, you know, I say all this to say, you know, I don't regret none of the decisions that I've made. I really don't. God has got me here, I know, for a purpose. I know that he is using my life for a purpose. And I know that much fruit is going to come out of my life. I really, you know, don't regret the journey that I've been through. But if I could go back, you know, and take back some of those decisions that I made and unhurt some people and unhurt myself, I would. I definitely would, because we go through, you know, I said it in another podcast, the decisions that we make, there's grace and there is forgiveness and God will use it. But those scars and those consequences, they continue to last forever. You know, they don't, the consequences and the hurt and the trauma that we cause for people, that we cause ourselves, that doesn't just disappear into thin air. It remains, you know. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And if we would just get to know God, understand him, understand his character, understand his ways, understand that he's not trying to control us, but he made us. So who knows us better than him? No one, not even ourselves. And if we would just follow him, follow his ways, follow his instruction, believe in his love, believe that he died for us, believe that he cares, we would be so much better off for it. We would alleviate a lot of pain in our lives if we would just do that, if we would just stop wanting to do things our own way. Anyway, I probably have missed out so many things in this testimony. So I think it would be great to, you know, sit down with someone and have a conversation and like dive into things more, not just my own, other people's as well. So maybe one day that is something that I would do. But I hope that someone is encouraged by my testimony. I hope that you can see that no matter what you go through, no matter who you've became, that like your story isn't finished. God can use it, even if you're 60 years old, 85, you know, until we take that last breath, God is not finished with your life, and there's so much more that he can do with it. Don't let shame keep you from him, or guilt, or none of those things. Just come in to the knowledge of God. Let him rewrite the things that you believe, because there is only one truth. There's not all these millions of different truths that we try and conjure up and, you know, make ourselves believe. There's one truth, and that is the truth that will set you free. It's the truth that brings forth freedom. It's the truth that will have you living a life of purpose. It will have you living, you know, a life that is not full of sin. It will have you walking in relationship with your creator. You want to go left, he'll tell you to go right and you listen. But he's taking you to the promised land. And so say yes to Jesus. You know, give him your yes, give him your heart, because he wants to do something with your life. You know, he wants to do so. Oh, and you know, just to, before I even do all that, the life that I'm living now, so he's taught me from all of that now. Like, you know, I don't smoke weed. I don't drink alcohol. I'm not fornicating. I'm not an attention seeker no more. I'm not an advocate of murder no more. I am intentional with my parenting and with my motherhood. I have great, amazing friends around me. My family is being restored through Jesus Christ, when my family has had a whole heap of things go through them and happen to them. But Jesus is restoring them. I'm no longer bound to money, to finances. I'm no longer led by those things. I am no longer craving a hole in my heart to be filled by a man, because Jesus has that place. You know, there's so many things that Jesus has done in my life. So many things that he has done in my life. He has healed me. He has healed me from depression. He has healed me from, you know, the bi-weekly cycles of depression that I would have. He's healed me from lying. I used to lie, even little white lies. I don't do it. And if I stumble and I do say a little white lie, immediately I'm repenting. And if I've lied to someone, I'm going to correct whatever, even if it's small. Even, you know, before I would phone Nala school and I would say, you know, she's ill, she can't come in today. I'm not lying. She can't come in today because I feel like she needs, you know, a break at home with her mom. This is what Jesus does. He lives inside of you. So it's impossible to remain the same when you meet with Jesus. It's impossible. And, you know, you might be tugging and worrying and your flesh and your spirit is fighting and your flesh wants to go this way. But your spirit, Jesus is in you. Your spirit is fighting for your life. Literally fighting for your life. Fighting for your life. Because Jesus don't want you to end up in death. He doesn't want you to burn in hell. He doesn't want you to. He just wants you to live for him, with him. And it's such a better life. Listen, such a better life. Such a better life. There is no life that I would rather live. I would never in a million years want to go back to the life that I was living. I don't care where I was going, what places I was being invited to, how much money I was making. I don't care about none of it. There is no better life to be living than inside the will of God, inside of having a relationship with our Creator. There is no better life. Anyway. I think I've finished. I think I've wrapped it up. You know, I just wanted to end it on a high. You know, said a lot of things. But yeah, I really hope that this episode just encourages someone to just give their full yes to Jesus. Or it might encourage you to give your testimony to someone. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, you're not the same person that you used to be. You are walking in freedom. You're walking in victory. Victory. You are walking in victory. And give God the glory. Give God the glory, because God can't, the man can't do this. Man can't clean you up. No amount of therapy, yeah? No amount of CBD therapy, no amount of, and listen, just Therapy is needed. If you're in the world, go to therapy. Yeah, because you're gonna hurt people. And you're gonna scar. You need therapy. Christians, when I need therapy, we don't need it. We don't need it. We just need the Holy Spirit to come and wash us, and he does just that. That is what he does. He will wash you clean, and it might take some time. It might take some time, but he will wash you clean. Anyway, hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a beautiful week, and I will see you guys again next week with a new episode. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.